This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Okay, so here's the deal. Edmonton and Winnipeg both having problems. The Pittsburgh Penguins collapsed against the Colorado Avalanche. The Washington Capitals are back in a wild card spot in the East. Hyman and Reinhardt hit the 50-goal mark. They joined the 50-goal club. Columbus officially eliminated from the playoffs over the weekend. The Preds keep on rolling along. The Leafs split the weekend. And Moritz Seider of the Detroit Red Wings is a lefty, as Philip Forsberg of those Nashville Predators found out on Saturday. Welcome to the program. Lots to get to today. A lot of different topics as well. We're going to go through a lot of what we sort of mused about and talked about over the weekend, explore it in greater depth today, have a look at the week ahead, including a pretty big game between the Winnipeg Jets. They're back home, not a moment too soon, facing off against the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow. We do have a clinching scenario today for the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver faces off against Los Angeles. That is your Rogers Monday Night Hockey game this evening. The Vancouver Canucks will clinch a playoff berth if the St. Louis Blues lose to the Vegas Golden Knights. You want to talk about a big game? That's a big game tonight. In any fashion, and the Canucks defeat the Los Angeles Kings in any fashion, or if the St. Louis Blues lose in regulation and the Canucks get at least 1 point tonight. More on both these games coming up a little bit later on. By the way, not that the President's Trophy really means a whole lot, although I'm one of the people that believes that it's more of an accomplishment than we give credit for. There is, folks, a certain aspect and element of luck when it comes to winning the Stanley Cup. Let's just be honest. Sure, you have to be a great team, but you have to be lucky. You have to be healthy. Maybe you have to have one, maybe two gimme rounds along the way. The President's Trophy, no one goes backwards into the President's Trophy, and there are no lucky teams that win the President's Trophy. But nonetheless, here we are. And if you have a look at the standings in the NHL, the top seven teams for tops in the NHL separated by 1 point. There are two teams on top with 98 right now. It's the 1994 Stanley Cup Final, folks. It's the Vancouver Canucks and New York Rangers, that's right. Followed by the Florida Panthers, the Colorado Avalanche, the Carolina Hurricanes, Dallas Stars, Boston Bruins, all at 97. I cannot recall a season, maybe you can, maybe there isn't one, maybe there is, where this deep into it, March 25th, seven teams could win the President's Trophy, all separated by a single point. It's weird. It's been that kind of season. Again, tops of it, Vancouver and the Rangers right now with 98. The Panthers, the Avs, the Hurricanes, the Stars, the Boston Bruins all with 97. We're going to talk about the Nashville Predators coming up at the bottom of the hour. Robbie Stanley, co-host of the Robbie and Rex Road Show on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Also correspondent for the Preds on NHL.com. He will stop by. Elliot started banging the drum last week, and the drum beats are getting louder and louder for Roman Josi's consideration for the Hart Trophy. Does he get there? I mean, that feels very much like, you know, Kucherov and MacKinnon territory at this point. But who knows? Some votes, maybe the top three. We shall see. We could see a scenario where Josi doesn't win the Norris, but maybe wins the Hart. Is in the conversation for the Hearts. Shane Malloy is going to stop by from Hockey Prospect Radio on NHL Network Radio. We'll talk about the issue that we discussed plenty on the podcast this morning, and that is the latest between the CHL and the NCAA. Yes, maybe coming together sooner, later, not sure, but conversations are being had, and the NHL very, very much wants to be part of that. And Matt Marchese is back to return here as a sometimes host, a constant co-host and full-time producer. So welcome back to Matt Marchese. In the meantime, Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts, the blog and the pod, joins me now to kick off the week. Hello, Friege.
Hey, Merrick. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Just sort of having a look at the standings here. Like at the beginning of the week to have a look at, you know, who's got the most points and who's leading in the Calder from rookies for points and how the defensemen doing, etc., and try to get a snapshot of the league. And if you look at the top spot in the NHL right now, seven teams are separated by 1 point. You have Vancouver and New York, shades of 94, number one with 98 points. Then you have Florida, Colorado, Carolina, Dallas, Boston, all at 97. Can you recall a time, Elliot Friedman, in your life where this deep into a season, the top seven teams were separated by a scant 1 point? Because here we are.
Given that I can't recall what happened to me last week, I'm going to say no. it's really something. You want races, right? You really want races. And what I want is more, I think playoff races at the bottom is kind of what I want more. But this is good, too, because, you know, especially in the Western Conference, those 2-3 setups, they're really going to matter. Not like whoever finishes, you know, 7th or 8th, a wild card 1 or wild card 2 is going to be a picnic.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that there's going to be something to who you match up against and how that looks like for your team. So it's weird. Like, there's no question about it, but I like it. I mean, you want games to matter at this time of the year, and they're going to matter.
Yeah. Well, speaking of mattering, I'm curious how you feel about the President's Trophy itself, top team in the NHL over 82 games. One of the things that I mentioned off the top before you came aboard here, Elliot, is in the playoffs, well, first of all, the intensity is just ratcheted up. We know all about how the game is played and what it is like, especially in the first couple of rounds. And by the end, I mean, teams are just decimated. It is so tough to win the Stanley Cup, and I understand that. But to get there is a strong element of luck along the way. Maybe you need a gimme series along the way. Not to take anything away from a Stanley Cup champion, but what I want to pivot back to, given the realities of how you win the Stanley Cup and what you need to win the Stanley Cup, and sometimes teams can get lucky and sort of back in there. Do they always win? No, but sometimes teams get there. Nobody goes backwards into winning the President's Trophy. Like, I don't know that we spend enough time talking about just what an accomplishment that is. 82 games, that really does separate teams. Does it translate to Stanley Cup success? Absolutely not. But are we guilty of not noting just what an accomplishment the President's Trophy is? 82 games is long, and no one goes backwards into that one.
The problem is it's almost a curse, right? Like, I have to look this up, but
exactly. Someone
was telling me last week at the GM meetings, I can't remember if it's more eight seeds have won the cup than the President's Trophy winners in the cap era, or if it's more eight seeds have been to the Stanley Cup final than the President's Trophy winners in the cap era. It's one of the two. I eight seeds have won. L.A. was an eight seed, and they won. I can't remember what St. Louis was when they won, but... It's one of the two is accurate. And, you know, I think there's a couple of things, Jeff. As I've gotten older, I realize how hard it is to show up every day, to be at your best every day. Like, we have a line that we use. You're going to get five stinkers a year, right? And the big question is, can you prevent yourself from having any more of that? And the other thing, too, is, you know, the NHL regular season, especially if you're one of those Eastern Conference teams that doesn't have a lot of travel, it's nowhere near as taxing as it used to be. But the playoffs, like, it's a different game. I really do believe this is two leagues. It's the regular season league and the playoff league. And because the playoffs are so much different than the regular season, particularly in what the players are willing to do to each other, what they're willing to put themselves through. I think that it's not that the President's Trophy becomes irrelevant, because I don't think it's irrelevant, but I think everybody's identity changes in the postseason.
Yeah, it does. And then you spend your whole offseason apologizing to everybody for the things you did to them en route to winning the Stanley Cup, or at least getting there. We have a clinching scenario tonight, potential for the number one team in the NHL, shared with the New York Rangers, and that's the Vancouver Canucks. If St. Louis lose to the Vegas Golden Knights in any fashion, and the Canucks beat the Kings tonight in any fashion, Vancouver clinches a playoff berth. If the Blues lose in regulation and the Canucks get a single point, then Vancouver is in. This is a long-winded way of me saying, Elliot, there are only two games on the board tonight around the NHL. Vancouver faces off against the Los Angeles Kings. That is our Rogers Monday night hockey game. But maybe a bigger one here is St. Louis and Vegas. Vegas can put some distance between themselves. Can put some distance between themselves and maybe eliminate here the St. Louis Blues and, in the process, the Vancouver Canucks. And I know there were some that said they might have a chance or they could see them as a playoff team, but the lion's share of people around the NHL and fans alike didn't think that Vancouver was going to be able to do this. And here we are in a scenario on a Monday night where Vancouver, as the top team in the NHL, can clinch a playoff spot. Wild, Elliot, wild.
Yeah, credit to them. I mean, they deserve it top to bottom. Their players deserve credit. Their coaching staff deserves credit. Their organization deserves credit. They've had a really good year. And the other thing, too, is they stayed on, and the players and coaches in particular deserve credit for this. They stayed on the straight and narrow, considering, just things that, first of all, it's a market where it doesn't take much for a powder keg to go off, right? And secondly, there's been things this year that could have been, very, very big distractions, from the Pettersson contract to everything else that's happened. They've stayed out. They've only really had one slump, and that is really to be respected. And, now they've got their number one goalie out of the lineup, and they're still motoring along. I really like it. I like their year this year. I think they've had a really good year, and that's why they are where they are. But I think the biggest thing there is just, in a Canadian market, you're always going to have distractions. We cover the sport very intently. Yeah. The fans love their hockey. There's always going to be things that pop up. But to me, that's the best thing that they've done this year is they've managed it all really well, and they've continued to play. And, the one thing I remember is when they came through Toronto and had a chance to chat with a couple of them, they all talked about how they understood what they were supposed to do when things went bad. When things went bad in the game, this is what we have to do. This is the kind of structure they've had to play with. And I've seen that a lot this year. When things go badly in a game, they find a way to manage it. And again, I think right now with Demko out, the Smith's been good, and they've found ways to win. And that's the mark of a really good team. They deserve a lot of credit. Now, the one thing we're going to try to figure out here is just Lindholm's situation. He didn't practice again yesterday. I don't think they had a morning skate today. So I have to double check that one. I'm not sure that they have one today. So we might not get clarity until just before game time about what his situation is. But, it's just another thing that they should be able to handle in a year where they've handled a lot of things.
Certainly true. We'll talk plenty more about the Vancouver Canucks tonight in action against the Los Angeles Kings, Rogers Monday Night Hockey. Okay. We talked a lot on the podcast about Zach Hyman and Sam Reinhart, and why not? Yeah. They both joined the 50-goal club on Sunday. Great accomplishments for both. So let me sort of couch it this way for you this morning, or this afternoon, rather. Zach Hyman, highest goal total he had ever scored before this season. It was his second season with the Edmonton Oilers, 36. So he goes from 36 to 50, whatever he ends up with. Sam Reinhart, in his first season with the Florida Panthers, scored 33. So he goes from 33 to 50, whatever he ends up with. Yep. There's another name that I think we should throw into this mix for goal-scoring acumen and popping seemingly out of nowhere. Now, he's 7 shy of 50. It's 43 goals. His highest goal total previous to this season is 32. Do you have a thought on Artemi Panarin?
Well, I just don't think you'd put Panarin in the same class as the other two guys. Just because he's kind of been a Hart Trophy candidate before, and Panarin he's been close to 100 points. Like he's also known as much of a creator as he is a scorer. There are definitely people who say to me, whenever we talk about the Hart Trophy, they really feel that Panarin is not getting enough love for it. Like, this is going to be a really hard, this is going to be a really interesting Hart Trophy. There's MacKinnon, there's Kucherov, there's McDavid, there's Matthews, there's Josi. and there's Panarin, and I'm sure I'm missing. I'm sure someone's going to have an issue with someone I didn't mention. But you know, I think you know Panarin. The thing about Panarin too is, you know, Shesterkin's going now, but he wasn't himself for a good chunk of the season, and
yeah.
The Rangers were still at the top of the Metropolitan Division, and Panarin's got a lot to do with that. You know, I think one of the things that I always try to be careful with, and I think the Jack Adams Trophy or award really plays into this, is I think too often we look at someone who wasn't supposed to be there, who gets there, and we don't recognize always consistent greatness. Now, the Hart Trophy is probably a little bit different, I think, in the sense that you look at the guys who win it, they tend to be consistently great players, and that's been the case for probably about 40 years. But I do look at a guy like Panarin, and I also think it's hurt MacKinnon, is that, you know, you're playing with a generational player in McDavid that eclipses a lot. But also,
yeah.
Sometimes I think we take their greatness for granted. Oh, yeah, of course they're great. Of course they're great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it'll be weird. But I don't necessarily believe it's bad voting. But particularly in MacKinnon's case, if he retires without a Hart Trophy, I think we're all going to look back at that and say, is MacKinnon never won the Hart Trophy? I don't know if that's going to be the case for Panarin, although he's close. I think it'll be the case for MacKinnon.
You know, I always, it's an interesting comment because I always think back to, you know, centers who played in the era of Wayne Gretzky and then Mario Lemieux. And I'll throw Mark Messier into that mix as well. But whether it's Steve Yzerman, whether it's Peter Stastny, whether it's Dale Hawerchuk, like there were a lot of, if it weren't for 66 and 99, centermen who we might be talking about a whole lot more or, you know, would have more accolades than they do, but they just happen to live in the shadow of two of the greatest of all time in Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. Like, I completely agree with you. I think we take a lot of players' greatness for granted, and a lot of it is because a lot of other players are dominating the headlines. And then
we should mention... In Panarin's case, too, Jeff, is that he picked New York. That's where he wanted to go,
yes.
Manhattan.
Yes.
He got a big contract, and he's earning every penny of it. Like sometimes,
yeah.
You know, sometimes players, they go in free agency, they pick their location, and maybe they have a down year or something like that. He has delivered the moment he got there. He has consistently been excellent, excellent.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't Colorado make a major, I think it was a shorter term, I think it was like a three-year offer,
deal.
Like more
like,
money than the Rangers?
It was
4 years.
It was like four times 13, yes. It was something like that. Yes, they did.
And he said no to go to the New York Rangers. Speaking of the Avalanche, they've now won 9 games in a row. And, I mean, I don't know how you want to look at yesterday's game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Was it a Penguins collapse? Was it a spectacular Colorado comeback? So we have, you know, Colorado playing on a different level right now. We have the Nashville Predators, who are on a 17-game point streak right now. They're playing out of their minds, and we all know what that's about. When you look at the NHL, like right now, quick snapshot, who do you think is playing the best hockey? Is it the obvious Colorado or Nashville right now, or is there someone, maybe it's Carolina, I don't know. Is there one team that really jumps out at you as saying, we are the best team in the league right now, Monday, March 25th? Do you have one team?
Well, I think it has to be Colorado or Nashville. Like when you're on a heater like that, you have to give it to those two teams. That Colorado game yesterday, you know what that was like, Jeff? That was like when, you know, you're a kid and you're going up against someone in a race who's really fast, whether it's someone older or just someone faster than you, and they give you a 50-yard head start. And you know you're still not going to beat them.
I don't know. I Elliot, I'll be honest with you. I fell for it. I totally bought it. You know, I was honestly like this, like a smidgen away from just tweeting out, "What the hell are the Penguins doing to the Avalanche right now?" Like, it's they go up 4-0, and I'm stunned. I'm just like, hold on a second here. We've seen Colorado do this before. Maybe cool your Twitter thumbs there, Merrick. And I'm glad that I didn't send that one out. Cold takes exposed or old takes exposed. What Colorado did yesterday was spectacular, and so much of it, like. Personally, and I haven't watched every single Colorado game, but that to me was the best game I saw Jonathan Drouin playing an Avalanche uniform. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, he really caught Letang there and made Letang look rough in that overtime. But, you know, in a 3-on-3, when you're kind of flat-footed and Drouin's coming at you like that, a really skilled, smart player like Drouin can make you look foolish. But... You know, I think the thing is, like, I told you, I turned the game off. Like, I was like, oh, okay. And and then I looked at the score, and I was like, what? Like, who's the idiot? Me. I'm the idiot for changing the channel. And I really thought, you know, I really think, as we talked about on the pod, you just remember, like, MacKinnon and Crosby, how much they really love each other, but how competitive they are with each other. And MacKinnon talks about how when they play in the summer – Crosby stacks the team so he never loses. So, you know, I should have realized there was no way MacKinnon was going to let the Avalanche give up in that game, and they found the way to win. I mean, to me, I think the incredible thing is what Nashville's done. And the reason I say them is, and I cannot underestimate this. I cannot underestimate this enough or overestimate this enough. And that is that, look, I was a camp counselor at one point, Jeff. So I understand what it's like to do communal punishment, okay? It's like sometimes, like, you have to sit there and you have to say, all of you are in trouble for this, okay? And it can go one of two ways. It can be you can completely lose everyone, or you can completely win everyone. And Nashville, like, those guys, they are pros. They said, this sucks, but we're going to make the best of it. And I give those guys a lot of credit, because it could have gone completely in the other direction. Now, I have to say, like, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be flipping back and forth. I don't want to be disloyal to my good buddy David Amber, who's working Canucks Kings tonight. But I'm going to be watching a lot of Blues Vegas. Like, I am surprised that Vegas is in this predicament. I didn't see it coming. And now Aiden Hill, he doesn't make the trip to start. And I'm assuming they're taking a good look at him and saying, figuring out exactly what the injury is. But I never would have thought right now that Vegas would have been in this predicament. And you know what? And the other thing, too, is Petrangelo's been sick. So he's been out of the lineup. And, you know, if anybody's going to want to play that game tonight in St. Louis, it's going to be him.
Yeah. Quick follow-up on the Nashville Predators. We've talked a lot about Rick Tocchet and the Jack Adams. At times, we've talked about John Tortorella and the Jack Adams. What about Andrew Burnett? He's been a finalist before, and listen, if Nashville continues this role, he's going to get a lot of votes, and he's going to get a lot of love, and rightfully so, and a lot of it will be around, you know, that collective punishment decision about not letting people go to Vegas to see you two at the Sphere.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, I've never voted for the Jack Adams. I'm not a member of the broadcaster group, so it's hard for me to, it's hard for me to get a handle on how they will vote, but there are a lot of good candidates. Like, to me, the Jack Adams is the one always that is, very rarely do you get rewarded for sustained excellence there. It's a lot of guys who have surprisingly good seasons. And you can start with those guys right there, Tocchet, Tortorella, Brunette. And there's other guys. I mean, there's no question that there's other guys you can talk about here. But those three coaches, they've all had phenomenal years in terms. I mean, the whole Tortorella thing to me is just, like, last week.
yep.
Like, the thing about him is that it's, it's obvious, like, he's so polarizing that there's, like, there are people who are never going to give him credit, and there's, he's always going to do things that are going to make people say, like, holy cow. Like, when he retires, we're going to have to find a lot, we're going to have to work harder to find things to write and talk about. And I really thought more about what you said, like, watching that video of him on the goalie yesterday. I really agree with you more and more now. I think you really hit it on the head last week when you said that the reason Tortorella didn't talk was last week with Couturier is he didn't want to pour gasoline on the fire. That he, like, that's, and last night I saw a guy doing the same thing. He was asked about his goalie, and he could have said he wasn't very good or he needed better, and he just said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything. So, I mean, it's wild. I mean, they're having an incredible year, and they're way ahead of where anybody thought they were going to be, and their playoff math is very good, and it was crazy town last week. It really was.
It was. Really quick before I wrap up, Washington Capitals back into a playoff spot right now. Yeah. You know, maybe low-key Spencer Carberry getting some love if he can get this team, into the playoffs somehow. Ovechkin with a pair. This is a team now that's very comfortable playing in low-scoring affairs and playing with more defensive structure, etc. Tough loss for the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, listen, Nashville's going through everybody, and Detroit found out what that's like on Saturday, even though there was a spirited fight between Moritz Seider. Welcome to hockeyfights.com. Seider, your first one is now up there. Tough weekend for the Detroit Red Wings. A good one for the Washington Capitals. We'll see what happens with St. Louis and Vegas tonight, but is this maybe the only race that we're going to see down the stretch, Detroit and Washington?
Well, I think the only other one we see is if St. Louis wins tonight, particularly in regulation, then we've got two.
That's why it's huge. Okay, enjoy the rest of your walk. We will check back tomorrow. Enjoy your Monday. We will be tuned in tonight, certainly for Rogers Monday Night Hockey, and also St. Louis facing off against Vegas. And the David Amber game tonight is the Kings facing off against the Vancouver Canucks. Thanks, great.
Like
to talk soon.
David, they should change that to the name of the show from Monday Night Hockey to the David Amber game. I like that.
Well, why not? Why not? I mean, they made me name this show after me, the People's Republic of Me. Oh, look, there's my navel here. Put another mirror in front of me. Why shouldn't David have the same thing? We'll just refer to it as Rogers David Amber Night. How about that?
Well, it's like the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Oregon Bowl, the Merrick Bowl, the Amber Bowl.
The Amber Bowl tonight. Vancouver Canucks and the Los Angeles Kings on the Amber Bowl. All right, thanks, Rage. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, shoot you there, Jeff.